Sincerity is the opposite of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is literally acting. Comes from the concept of pretending or playing a part. In ancient times, the actors wore masks to reflect their character. We do that today without using physical masks. So I ask, what masks do you wear? We all wear them. What part do you play before the people you know? Thinking about this, we recognize this is not something that just some odd people do. This is something that all of us do. I did some research, social roles and expectations. We play different roles in various parts of our lives. We do this maybe even subconsciously. Like being a friend, you become a certain person as you seek to be a friend. Just a family member, I say just, I mean, dealing with family members, a work friend, or to step in front of people as a leader. You begin to think of yourself as a different kind of person, and you act in a different way. Each role comes with its own set of expectations, and that influences our behavior. For instance, you might be more authoritative and decisive at work, but more relaxed and easygoing with friends. This also provides us emotional safety. We tend to show different sides of ourselves based on how comfortable we feel. With close friends or family, you might be more open, more vulnerable, sharing your true thoughts and feelings without, expecting to be pointed at and condemned and so on. In professional settings, you might hold a more reserved or composed manner, not saying everything that comes to your mind. Cultural norms, and we represent here people from vastly different cultures. Our cultural background can influence how we act around others. Different cultures have different values that guide social behavior. Some cultures emphasize respect. I noticed that when I go to the Asian restaurants, the Oriental restaurants, Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, so on, I have a tendency to just kind of bow. This is that area of respect that they show each other. Some cultures emphasize respect. Others emphasize individual expression. And then we also use this as a coping mechanism. How do you cope with different situations? You may put on a confident front in a stressful situation to hide your anxiety, your uncertainty. So you may just draw into yourself and kind of keep the face a mask, unchanging. But overall, this is not a bad thing. Overall, this adaptability is a key part of our social intelligence. Social, relating with people. It helps us appear appropriately or as we wish before others. However, and the thing that I want to bring forcefully to you this morning, is that our relationship with God challenges us to a completely new attitude. As we come before God, we need to come before Him in a way that we do not come before anybody else. A vast difference. With God, you can actually have to think about this. You have to actually train yourself to remove all masks and be absolutely honest about who we are, because He knows us absolutely. I've told the story before, but it was such a eye-opening thing to me. I was working as a youth pastor, and the church where I was going to have a revival service. And I remember getting on my knees back when I could do that and saying, "Oh God, I'm so burdened about this. We want this to be a great revival. And all of a sudden I just stopped and saying, "Who do I think I'm talking to?" See, I was kind of used to trying to lead the youth group by how I was presenting my prayers. So I put on a mask of some dedicated guy who was just looking forward. To me, at that point, the revival meant more work, more effort, and no more pay, you know, all that. And I just quietly said to God, I'm not very excited about this because I'm looking at it about me. And I need to become excited about this because of you. Here's an opportunity for us to reach out, not just deal with our youth group and get them trained a little bit, to reach out, get people in here, get them saved. And then I could begin to really pray. It was really me with all the trappings taken off, you see. The bare heart of who I really am began to pray. We're dealing with a God who knows us absolutely. Listen to Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is what you read in the Bible. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints of the marrow. And notice this. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As you read the Bible, as God speaks to you through the Bible, he gets into your heart and speaks to you as you really are, not as you pretend to be, for all those good reasons we talked about earlier. Then verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Manifest is just open. God sees and knows you absolutely. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It's not a comfortable thought to stand naked before God. But that's the idea. This is where nothing hides you from God. He sees you absolutely as you are. So when you pretend to be somebody else before God, who are you fooling? See, only yourself. Only yourself. If you pretend with God, you fool only yourself and your relationship with God. Think about it. Remove every mask and be sincere. Be absolutely true to the heart as you speak. Now let's examine various concepts of the word sincere in Scripture. I wanted to, it's important for me, studying a topic, to get the Bible definition of things, not just what the books say. The Bible definition. So we look at what it says. Old Testament, Joshua 24, 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity. Now this Hebrew word is that sense of complete, whole, entire. This means with all of your heart. Not just this little part that you want to present, that you want to hide this other part. He says, serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve you the Lord. It says you have to remove all this false worship. I don't know where you were before you got here, your background, your childhood, and so on. But may I say to you, very likely, you have remnants of false thinking left in your heart because you were taught that way. It's the way you thought about God, the way you thought about worship, the way you thought about serving God. And these things have to be examined and removed if you're going to truly serve God. See, 1 Corinthians 5, 8, now in the New Testament. Therefore, let us keep the feast, this is a symbolic feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread, and here he actually talks about why God used unleavened bread in the Old Testament, talk about that which doesn't have leaven of evil mixed in it. Bread of sincerity, here the word means literally purity, simplicity, and truth, again, with truth. So the real you, the simple you, uncomplicated, unmasked. 2 Corinthians 8:8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Here he's talking about giving. And to prove the sincerity, and here the word means legitimacy, not falsely labeled, of your love. We can say, oh, how I love God, and I want to give him this much money. And God says, if you really loved me, if it was real love, that would be a different amount. They're talking about giving to others, for others. Then Ephesians 6:24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. If you love him in sincerity. This word used, translated sincerity, means without corruption, without rottenness, and in continuation. Amen. Then Philippians 1:10, that you may approve things. This is the discernment of the Christian. We're not run by law, that we just do everything we want unless God says don't do it. We are given the challenge of discernment, and that means I do what I find is God-honoring, but also doesn't trip me up. It doesn't have something that binds me to it. It's not habit-forming where I don't have control anymore. We look at things and say, I don't care if it's good. I don't care if it's better than good. I'm looking for the best. Finding the best, discerning the best. That's what he's talking about here. He says that we may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. Hear the word means pure, sincere, unblemished. You see, you want to be without blemish before God. And so we choose not the things that we like necessarily, but the things that are best and without offense till the day of Christ. The day of Christ refers to the time when we are judged by Christ, how well we ran the race. In Philippians 1:16, Paul talking about there are some who are preaching, but they do it just because I told them they couldn't. When I had control, I said, you can't preach. You're not qualified. Now I'm in prison. They're out preaching, and it's to get me. But he says, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, not purely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. This will get Paul when he hears I'm doing the preaching. See? So this is the lack of sincerity, the lack of pure. And then last one is 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, and you know how newborn babes desire the milk as they seek to. My son John, so he would draw blood from my wife, trying to suck so hard, you know. So we had to change that over. Didn't want him to become a vampire. I don't know if that works, but as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. And here the word sincere means without deceit, the pure, the unvarnished, the unadulterated milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. When I spend time trying to explain meaning of Scripture, I'm trying to give you, take away all the misunderstandings of a phrase. So with that, we have looked at the meaning of the term, the concept of being who we really are before God, because we have to deal with that. This is where real change can happen, when we become who we really are before God, and he's dealing with how we really are. We understand then how the real us needs to change. We don't need to just change masks. Put on a better mask. Pretend to be a different person. That's not what we're after in true Christianity. So now let's look then. The body of my message begins now, but it's a short one. Let's look at four qualities of sincerity that the Bible urges on us. being sincere, good in itself, but let's look at specifics here. If you're sincere, then what does that mean? Well, first, sincerity demands truth in the heart. Now, you have to get the truth in there somehow, you see, because we don't automatically know the truth. I mean, you think just natural knowledge, you wake up, you grow up, you live on planet Earth. You don't know it's a globe. You don't know it's a sphere. You're a flat Earth person, just by experience. You know, wherever I go is pretty much flat Earth. There's bumps and hills and stuff, but you know, we don't experience that. We have to learn that outside. So we don't know things automatically. Two verses here emphasize this, and this is where the truth has to come into our heart, and then we have to trust that as truth. It comes from the Word of God. Psalm 51:6, Old Testament, then New Testament. Behold, the psalmist says to God, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. This is what God wants. How full of revelation is that? We have not met God. We have not seen God. We have not said, hey, sit down here and over a nice cup of Earl Grey tea. Let's just talk about what you really want, see? But he has told us this in the Word. And in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Now here's the thing. If you want to really know wisdom and not false wisdom, which is just what other people say, if you want to know real wisdom, you have to turn over your heart to God and fill it with truth, truth in the inward parts. Then in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near to God, draw near to God with the Word of God, with a true heart. You could have all kinds of reasons why you approach God, why you approach the Word of God. But God wants the true heart in full assurance of faith, truly believing that what God says is true, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, knowing we've done wrong, and our bodies washed with pure water. The idea of having the truth of God wash over us and cleanse us from falsehood and from wicked attitudes. So if you are sincere before God, he demands truth in the heart and the very basic core of your being. The second quality of sincerity is that sincerity embodies true worship. Now here's the sad part about this. Until we come to this place, we're not giving him what he considers true worship. You can be full of religious zeal. You can be like the monks of the ancient times who said, I have to get away from the world. I have to go live in my monk cell, and I live 5 miles from any known sin. Sorry, Martin Luther confessed. He said, I tried to separate from the world, and I brought the world into my monk cell with me, you know. Sin in my heart. I came into there and stayed a sinner. Two passages here. John 4:23-24, Christ is stopped by the well of Samaria, meets a Samaritan woman, had a checkered past, and he sits down and he reveals to her wonderful things about God, the very character of God. He says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, implying there's false worshipers, true worshipers shall worship the Lord in spirit, in the depth of your being, and in truth. Pretty much like what we were saying with the heart and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. It's the people that are after the truth in spirit and truth. God is a spirit. This is the only time he's ever mentioned this. We know this as a fact, that God is not a body as men, but just spirit, because he told it to the woman at the well. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Must worship if you're going to worship him. You're not worshiping him if you have an idol in your mind. If God has to look like a certain thing for you to worship him. He's a spirit. He doesn't have a body, you see. He has personality, he has character, but he doesn't have a body. So you can't make an idol of God. You just invent an idol, you see. And so he says, you haven't really worshiped until you're sincere, until it's the real you, until you're dealing with him in the inner part, not the outward bowing and standing and chanting and all this stuff, the inward part, and in truth, according to the truth of the Word of God. We go back to Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people, Israel here, being condemned in Isaiah, draw near me with their mouth, with what they say, and with their lips do honor me. Oh, listen to those wonderful words of praise. But have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Their fear, their respect that they have for God, only taught by men, not by their own heart. Strange concept, but they were disciplined for this. They were not worshiping God. This is true worship. God removed the heart from me. So we have to reveal our heart. We have to understand what is real in us before we can present that to God. That doesn't happen automatically. The third urging and attitude of sincerity is that sincerity embodies proper prayer. Again, much prayer is done just as a ritual. I mean, it gets down to where people are using rosary and they're just counting beads and they think that's prayer. They're reciting something. Much saying, thinking that God will hear them. They have in other countries the stick with a revolving thing on it and usually strings with beads, and they swirl it around. Every time it rolls around, it's a prayer. You don't even have to think about praying now. It's engraved on this or something, you know. So here are the praises going. God, see this? Those are all my prayers. There's no prayer there at all. Has to be sincere. Two verses from the Psalms. I'll go in backward order here, but Psalm 145:18. The Lord is nigh, is near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. If it's not down to who you really are, it's not truth. If it's not according to the strength of his word, it's not truth. And then Psalm 17:1. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer. And he qualifies his prayer that goeth not out of feigned, pretended lips. That prayer about revival that I gave, you know, it was pretended lips. It wasn't who I really was. Oh, God, I'm so burdened. Oh, so many people to come. That wasn't who I was. And I had to get there by dropping the masks and coming in for real. And the last thing, and I'm stopping early. Amazing. The fourth is where we connect it to money. Sincerity embodies Christian giving. The story that I sadly have to tell here is from Acts 5:1-5 of Ananias and Sapphira. We've dealt with that in our Sunday school. But let me remind you of it, that just coming to church, as they did, and giving in the church is not proper Christian giving. And in fact, God was so displeased with their giving, and they really gave, but he was so displeased, he took their lives. He killed them on the spot, standing in the aisle, saying, look what we have done. We have provided here this great sum of money. All laud and praise be to us. We are doing this wonderful thing. And God says, not so. Boom, they die, one by one. Here's the story. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife — Sapphira is the word sapphire, beautiful gem — sold a possession and kept back part of the price secretly, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet, as if it was all, pretending that they were giving all they had, but they kept back some. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? You say, what was it, a rule you had to give it all? No, he says, whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? You could have done whatever you wanted with it. You could have said, we're going to keep back part of it, but we're giving half. Then proper praise. But to pretend? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? And he opens up the reality of it. Thou hast not lied unto men, as you thought, just to us, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. The spirit within him, as it were just yanked out of him. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Don't you imagine? In that church, if you lie to God, he kills you. I think I'll visit someplace else today, just in case I'm not right with God. Understand what they did. They sold a possession to give money to God for the needy. You say, well, that has to be a good thing. It is if you don't lie about it, if you're not sincere. You see? God takes it very seriously. And the last verse goes sort of a broader concept. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Here, the pattern of Christian giving. Talking about giving, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Now he's going to say, this has to be according to your heart. This has to be a heart purpose. And you give according to that. You see? Now he says, make sure that that heart is not giving grudgingly. Oh man, time for the offering. I got to give this. I'd like to keep it for myself. I need that new pair of fancy gym shoes. They don't call them gym shoes anymore. Sports shoes, whatever they are. Why do they keep changing names on me? Not grudgingly. If you have to give grudgingly, he says, keep it. You need it more than I do. Not grudgingly, or of necessity. I don't want to, but I have to. People are watching. I have to put this in. He says, don't give. If your heart can't give without grudging, without sense of necessity, don't give. And here he explains why. For God loveth a cheerful giver. This word cheerful, we get our word hilarious out of this word. Greek word. Just a person who gets a kick out of giving, you see. We have seen this here. We have seen people who said, I don't know, God seems to be moving upon me to give a large amount that I normally wouldn't give for this special need. And they do it because they're happy to do it. There's a hilarity of spirit about it. Now, this is then who they really are, you see. They're not trying to say, I want everybody to notice me, so make sure that it's broadcast who gave this. It's always just quietly before God, not grudgingly, not out of necessity, but cheerfully. So my friend, here's the thing. If you are a sincere Christian, then it will affect the way you give. It will affect the way you think about your money. You can keep on pretending to be whoever you want to pretend to be. See? Put on the mask. Everybody else will see that. God will not. God will know who you are. God will know and does know why you do what you do. And he will find that far more important than what you do. Why you do what you do is more important than what you do. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for being who you are, the God who sees in spirit and therefore bypasses all our outward show. As we just sang at the last song, that you do not judge men by how tall they are or how beautiful they are, what power they command before others. You just look on the heart. And Father, if we're not looking at our heart truly and present that to you, then we're pretending, we're acting like we're somebody else talking to you, but we fool only ourselves. I ask, Father, you might allow each one of us to take the challenge to think about putting off all the masks when we deal with you, uncovering who we really are. Maybe we've never discovered that. Maybe we have always pretended to be something that we're not. Help us to be true in the heart when we come to you. And Father, especially as we give, may we be open to your leading of giving, of what we should give, what we should save, what we should spend on family and all these things. But most especially, what we are to give to you. Help us then to be sensitive to thy Holy Spirit that lives within us, to listen to that prompting and say, why would I want to give that much? The answer is, I'm being prompted by thy Holy Spirit. Is this a strange desire? Perhaps is the Holy Spirit speaking within the heart itself. Help us, Father, then to be real within ourselves to thee for worship, for prayer, for giving. With heads bowed, eyes closed, it may be you're saying to yourself, I've never really gone through the process of taking off my masks, the mask that I have before my husband or before my wife, the mask that I have before my children or my parents. I haven't taken that off and found out who I really am inside because that's how I stand before God. If that's your prayer, if you'd like to open that up and find out who you are truly, sincerely in your heart, I wonder if you'd say, pray for me that I might be able to be myself before God. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Yes, amen. Yes, yes. Praise God. Father, then perhaps discovering the reality that we must deal with, a reality that we dare not be in front of most people, we ask, Father, that you might help us then to be that always before you, to realize we're just fooling ourselves if we think we can pretend with you. We are naked before you. We are unclothed with any mask or any sense of pretense or any style that would make you think we're something we're not. We pray, Father, you would guide and direct us then in giving to realize that we who we really are have what we have because of you. We have our contentment. We have food and covering. But with all else that we have, we want to understand, what does it mean to give that as a responsible person to you? So we pray thy blessing as we seek to be sincere, truth in the inward parts. We pray for each one to raise the hand. We thank you for the moving of thy Spirit upon them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.